The Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival isn't just a summer music series. The organization also conducts educational projects throughout the year in an effort to broaden an understanding of music. This past spring, the Chamber Music Festival held a six-week seminar at the Cape Cod Lighthouse Charter School on the topic of writing verse and combining it with music. Joining us to talk about the seminar is Elaine Lipton, Executive Director of the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy.
And on the phone, Paul Niles, Director of the Cape Cod Lighthouse Charter School. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Elaine, the music festival is known for its summer series, of course, but your mission is much broader than performances. Can you describe a bit about your educational and outreach mission?
We are a very small organization and, of course, don't have the benefit of having a school or a conservatory connected with us, except for in the four-week summer series. I'm kind
You're
of
it.
It. You know, I tell everybody I do everything except play the music.
And so
we're a little bit too busy in the summer to really do too many educational programs, although we do try and do open rehearsals if we can and invite anybody who would like to come to an open rehearsal. We do them at nursing homes if we can. So we try and do outreach in that respect when we have musicians here on the Cape who are here for the summer. The other educational things that happen are primarily done in the winter and fall to me to organize and implement. And so I have to be pretty creative in the way that I do that. I try and bring young musicians from New England Conservatory who will come out and do workshops with music students in schools. I try and bring young quartets, also generally through the outreach department at New England Conservatory, who will come out and do a benefit concert for an organization like the Mustard Seed Kitchen in Wellfleet, which is a food delivery service on the Outer Cape. And then I try and do things in the schools like this program that we did with the charter school this year.
Paul, how did an educational collaboration between the Cape Cod Lighthouse Charter School and the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival come about? How did you two hook up here?
Well, it was easy, Mindy. As an innovative public school serving middle school students, we are always open to collaborations. That's part of our mission. We're also open to the STEAM concept is a strong concept in our school. You've, of course, heard of STEM, and we believe in bringing the arts into the STEAM. So we're always looking for partnerships, scientific and artistic, that will allow us to expand our programming. So we knew Elaine from previous partnerships, so this was an easy one. When Elaine came in with a proposal for this partnership, we were very receptive. We find that outside programming, and especially arts programming, teaches both to the cognitive development of students, but also to their affective side. And if you can't hook kids affectively, then you're really not going to be able to teach them well. And what was really impressive with this particular program, most arts programming is focused on the performance side, which is really most developed in schools on Cape Cod and across America. But when you have a program that looks sort of behind the curtain at how musical programming is developed and conjoins writing with some performance with great talent coming in, it was really a no-brainer for us.
Our students
really loved it.
Yeah, and it's for those who don't know, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And, of course, we add the A in there for the STEAM, and we get the arts.
That's right.
You know, you bring up a really good point. You know, there are kids who maybe aren't musically talented and might not have the best voice or can't play an instrument, but maybe they can write verse, or maybe maybe they're a little bit too shy to be a performer, but they may have these great talents. So that's a really important aspect of what you're doing.
It was a great thing in this seminar in particular to look at the skills that the students who participated did bring to it, and they were very diverse. And we asked them all initially if they were musicians, and every one of them has played an instrument at some point for some period of time, as I imagine all of us have, but would not consider themselves musicians at all. Some of them sang. We talked a lot about the kinds of music they listened to, and then tried to relate that to the project that we were really approaching. It turned out that they were all great writers.
Oh, they got lucky.
I think it surprised them.
Yeah.
Okay, we had an incredibly talented person teaching the writing section of
the
seminar.
Yeah. I mean, tell us what this entailed. What was the 6-week program?
It began with, in fact, some summer programming. Okay, we have a concert that's going to be performed this summer that we pulled into our summer program as part of a Wellfleet 250th anniversary project. It's a piece of music that I heard about maybe 3 years ago that was composed around the poetry of Mary Oliver. Mm-hmm. Mary Oliver is, of course, a very beloved Outer Cape resident, mm-hmm. and we thought this would be a great piece to use as part of our 250th Wellfleet celebration. I took that program and said that it inspired me to do something really interesting educationally to expand our audience, mm-hmm. in particular, and also just to bring kids into the chamber music genre in a way that they hadn't approached it before or might not have approached it before. And I thought music and verse is something we all deal with mm-hmm. every day in our lives. We listen to songs, no matter what genre it is, that combine verse and music in different ways, and that it would be interesting for kids to look at music and verse across different genres, think about how it relates to their own lives, look at Mary Oliver's poetry and think about how that relates to their own lives, and then have a chance to come and hear this particular piece performed in August.
Yeah. Now, there were 6 students who participated in this program. Did they choose this seminar or were they assigned to it?
They chose this seminar, Mindy. Our seminar programming was designed 19 years ago when we started the charter school as a component of our programming that would be resistant to the sort of narrowing of the curriculum that we saw coming mm-hmm. with the Common Core and the high-stakes testing culture, which sort of was born the same time that charter schools were born. And we knew that pressure would be increasing over the years. So we wanted an element of the programming that we could allow to teach to the whole child. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the Common Core or the high-stakes testing is bad in any way, but it's just narrow. Mm-hmm. And what's even worse in many systems is that the pressure to perform in those areas causes systems to narrow their curriculum even more.
Right.
So this programming allows us to bring in many, many different kinds of outside mm-hmm. partners. It allows us to teach in areas that are outside of the realms of the Common Core. And so students choose. Students yeah. have open choice in these seminars.
I think most people know what a charter school is, but maybe you can talk a little bit about the difference between a charter school and the regular public schools. What's the differences?
Sure. So the great advantage that I see charter schools have is that we can be more mission-oriented. So we are a public school. Students are chosen by random lottery. We at our school, as in most charter schools, have a full spectrum of special education programs. But I think what's great about a charter school is they tend to be more mission-oriented. Mm-hmm. We have a mission that believes that middle school kids have been underserved by the traditional public education system. So we want to, number one, have a very rigorous public education that will teach creativity, that will be centered around authentic learning experiences, but will serve the full spectrum of students really well. Right. So I think the mission component really sometimes separates charter schools from other public schools, but we've seen in this era of choice that in the competition for students, many traditional public schools are focusing on niches and missions mm-hmm. more than they used to.
Yeah, that's true. And Elaine, you work with schools across the Cape, though, right?
Absolutely,
private schools, public schools.
Sure.
You run the gamut there. Yeah.
I run the gamut. The interesting thing about approaching the Lighthouse Charter School is that I knew that I could go to them with a project that was sort of outside the box a little bit and have them be very open to it and not have to spend a tremendous amount of my time convincing them that this would be a great project to do.
And, of course, you've got such a large staff of you.
Right. But, you know, it was really, I was very lucky with this project that, and because I do live here year-round and have had kids who've grown up here, I know a lot of people that I can
pull in
and
exactly,
say, you know,
yeah,
wouldn't you really like to do this?
And usually they say yes.
And with the the seminar program at the charter school, too. And I can say this having had kids who went through the Lighthouse Charter School, but also having taught other seminars there. The subjects of these seminars that tend to be things that people are really passionate about. Mm-hmm. It both is exciting for the people who are teaching, but also exciting for the kids.
Students, yeah. Yeah,
for the students.
Now, the students.
I taught a quantum physics seminar a few years back, and my fellow teachers were warning me, saying, no kid will sign up for that. I had 16 kids.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, oh, really, right? Yeah. Now, these students didn't compose music as part of the seminar, but they did write verse, including poetry, and in one of the final sessions, a team of musicians came in to improvise, setting the students' verse to music. That must have been pretty exciting for those kids.
They were totally blown away by that. I think they really didn't know what to expect.
And so tell us who the musicians were.
In that instance, the musicians were Carla Kilstead and Matthias Bossi. They are both here on the Cape when they're not out on tour. Mm-hmm. And Carla is a violinist. Matthias is both a pianist and percussionist. Mm-hmm. And they do some really remarkable music that I'm not even sure I could tell you what genre it fits into, okay?
Right. Well, we actually have a clip of that in the classroom. Let's take a listen. I would have loved to have seen the kids' faces.
You can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
It's beaming, I bet.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a poem about stealing a flower from someone's garden.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Very creative. So I know that you had students fill out questionnaires of the seminar at the end, and I'm curious to hear from both you, Elaine, and Paul. Let's start with you, Elaine. What did the students tell you about the experience?
They had different reactions to each section of the seminar. And they spent the first few weeks writing, reading Mary Oliver poetry. And I think that they really enjoyed that. I think that was something that they all asked if they could please do again. Mm-hmm. The second section of the seminar was about opera.
Oh, wow.
And a woman who's a friend of mine in New York who represents opera singers and is a Wagner scholar came up and talked to them about opera. And she approached it on a couple of different levels. She talked about language. She talked about opera in different countries and how it differs. She talked a little bit about how opera differs from musical theater. Mm. And then she played pieces from opera for them. And I think they were all, again, very surprised at how much they enjoyed it and how much they felt they learned something from it. We talked a lot about bits of opera that they are exposed to in their everyday lives that they don't think of as opera. Mm-hmm. If you start to think about that and listen, you hear in commercials, you hear in films, and I think they were all very surprised when they started to really think about that.
Right.
In the third section, the composer who did the piece that we're going to do this summer actually came up and talked to them about his process. Mm-hmm. That was probably the hardest part for them to grasp, mm-hmm. but I think that again, they thought about it in terms of the Mary Oliver poetry and how music can color words, right. Yeah. And vice versa.
Paul, what was their reaction to you?
Well, what impressed me as an administrator of these programs was how this program opened students' minds. You know, we're in the business of taking kids who have some narrow range of experience by sixth grade, and part of what we want to do is to open their minds to the full wonder of experiences that are out there. You know, we're not like a high school where kids are really starting to narrow down. One of the great joys of teaching middle school is that we can just throw experiences out at students and try to literally open their minds. And,
yeah.
And these reflections reflected that mind-opening process. So here are these art forms that students had not necessarily been exposed to, certainly didn't appreciate, And these kids really had their minds open.
Yeah, that's such a good age, too. And when you think about it, you have no idea what little bit of inspiration from one of these aspects of that may open up a whole new world to one of these kids. You know,
something
that
you really thought. One of the great things of living and teaching on the Cape is that in the end, you do find out because you run into
right, exactly.
all the time.
And they say, back in sixth grade. So how did you evaluate the students' work and participation for the seminar? Did they get a grade? How do you evaluate that?
They don't get a grade. And I'm not sure if the school has some means of evaluating other than getting responses from both the people who are teaching and the people and the students themselves. For me, in fact, one of the main points of evaluating the project itself was to ask the kids at the end how many of them would like to come to hear this concert in August.
Yep.
They had to think about that a little bit, of course. You know, it's, again, a new experience.
Right.
But they all said yes.
Oh, that's a good sign.
And that they thought that they could get some of their family members to come, too.
That's funny. So, Paul, is it just about the experience more than anything?
Well, you know, 20 years ago, that was okay to just basically open up these experiences. But public education has tightened up, and there's more responsibility that we have these days. So in most seminars, we develop rubrics, student performance or response rubrics that are specific to the seminar, and we do judge student performance around that. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the responses are what we used to evaluate that this was a successful seminar. But many seminars will come up with products. Many seminars will have behavioral and performance rubrics during the seminar, and then we have a portfolio system and a reflection system that we use to evaluate the student performance along that rubric.
Right. Now, I know this isn't the only music education you're doing. So Paul, do you have plans to incorporate more music education into the curriculum now that you're doing the STEAM instead of STEM?
for sure. We have really great performance ensembles we have Maggie Bossy, who runs our choral ensembles. We have Liz Schultz from the Cape Cod Symphony, who runs our strings ensembles, and Betsy Doris from the Symphony, who runs our different band ensembles. And we have a musical performance, a large musical that Allison Graham does in every winter. So we have really a robust performance curriculum. But we really have an aim to bring more music into other aspects of the curriculum.
Right.
And as a rich project-based curriculum, we do have musical and visual artistic components in just about every project that students participate in, whether it's in the science classroom or the language arts classroom. We really work hard to integrate the arts into everything we do.
The students in the seminar did put together little books of the poetry that they wrote, and those were, in fact, reviewed by the retired English teacher who actually taught the poetry section of the seminar. And I think that in terms of something to take away for the students that they felt like they had created themselves, that was a great thing for them.
Now, the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival is in full swing, and if folks are interested in hearing Daniel Brubaker's composition Around the Poetry of Mary Oliver, when and where is that performance?
That will be performed in Wellfleet at the First Congregational Church on August 16th. And Daniel Brubaker will also be giving a talk at Preservation Hall in Wellfleet on August 15th on his process of composing around poetry.
Right, we'll put a link up on our website for folks to find that information.
Great.
At capeandislands.org. And we have a piece that's from Daniel Brubaker to go out. The title is Morning Song. Elaine, who's going to be accompanying him on this?
In this particular recording, the singer is Frederica von Stade, who people might know. She's now retired, but she performed the premiere of this piece in California when it was first commissioned.
All right. Elaine Lipton, Executive Director at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival, and Paul Niles, Director of the Cape Cod Lighthouse Charter School. Thank you both for coming in, and keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Under the orange sticks on the sun, the heat ashes of the night to the heart. untrudging.